this is Lewis.
And this is Ian.
And welcome to 101 Films You Should Have Seen.
Probably.
So, have you seen any good films this week,
Ian?
Young Ian Millad?
That's an interesting question. Good films.
Oh.
Well, we've actually had a week's gap, haven't we? So, been the last 2 weeks. I've seen a few.
Yeah.
Saw The Other Guys.
I saw The Other Guys as well.
That's quite funny.
Again?
Oh, is that because it was on Netflix?
It was on
Netflix. That's exactly why I watched it on Netflix.
One of the very few good films
actually
on
good,
Netflix.
Yeah, good comedies as well. There's not many on
not
there.
Not many.
Did it stand up to repeat viewing?
It did, although bizarrely, I think the version on Netflix seems to be an extended version that's like, it clocks in at nearly 2 hours on there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of scenes that I think I don't remember seeing in the original, which weren't really that funny.
Mm.
So I feel like probably they just should have stuck with the shorter
version. It did seem to drag a little bit compared to the first one. Maybe, I don't know, maybe the memory's cheating and that is the original, but I don't know. It definitely seemed a bit slower in the middle than it did the first time
I saw it. It sang a bit.
Yeah. But still, very good though, very
good
funny.
Film. Highly recommended.
Michael Keaton, you can't beat Michael Keaton.
Oh, that's great.
I also saw District 9.
I saw that as well.
Really? It was my first time watching District 9.
I've watched it. I think it's the third time I've seen it.
Third?
Third time, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I love it. Absolutely great film. What did you think?
All right. Yeah.
Just all right?
Yeah, I think...
What? It's great.
I enjoyed it. I definitely enjoyed watching it. But I found the idea much more interesting than... the film around it.
Right.
I think that's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
I thought the questions raised by the idea of the film, fascinating.
It's a clever idea. I mean, if you've not seen it, it's like aliens come to Earth and they end up being pushed into a refugee camp in South Africa.
Yeah, just outside of Johannesburg.
With some heavy allegorical references
to the
townships of South Africa.
Yeah. And so it was an interesting idea, but I think my mind was racing with actually the real world practicalities of housing a group of extraterrestrial intelligent race on Earth no way to get them back and how you would approach it.
I mean there were a lot of questions raised, but I think for an action film
it was
only a very simplistic take on it, really. I think there's a lot of questions you'd want answered. I quite like the way that it was, aliens arrive but it's just not that good.
It's just a problem.
It just creates a problem
rather than an amazing thing. Yeah, true. And I also saw Monsters University. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, so it was actually the best thing I've seen in the cinema for a while.
Is it better than Monsters, Inc.?
You know, it's been so long since I've seen Monsters, Inc. I couldn't really tell you. I mean, it must be about 10 years since I've seen Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
But Monsters University, it was good fun.
So this week, back to Germany again, for I think the third German film on our list.
Third?
Yeah.
I can think of Downfall. What else have we done?
Run, Lola, Run.
Oh, you know what? I'm so pleased, because I was about to say, I thought it was our second German film, I forgot about Run, Lola, Run, and it's another film about Nazis. And I didn't think that was really... that's very unfair to Germany.
I mean, is this reflective of the output of the German film industry? I don't know.
Well, I've not seen many German films.
It's just 95% Nazis and then one film about a red-haired woman running around.
To be fair, I think very little of it. I think it's just that I think this is more about British interest in Germany than the Germans.
Only certain films make it over here, and it's the ones that have got Nazis in or pretty young women.
The only other two German films, other than Run, Lola, Run, I've also seen Goodbye Lenin. And
Lives of Others,
yes. Which is just about the East German Stasi and East German.
Both very good films. It's a shame we've already both seen them, so we can't do them for the podcast.
Yeah, that's very true. You'd not seen The Wave before?
I've not seen The Wave.
Who recommended it?
It was recommended by Jason Morgan about 6 months ago, I think.
Oh, good. So we're right on track, Jason.
We're finally getting round to watching these. Sorry about that. I think, it was a good film. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it as well. I found, and we'll perhaps go on to this a bit later, I found the ending a little bit melodramatic for my tastes.
Mm.
But the gradual lead up to that, I found very good.
Yeah, I thought so as well. I think the actual story behind it is really interesting, and it does kind of provoke questions.
Sorry.
But anyway, what's the pitch and plot for this?
Okay, well, I would say the pitch is like an After the Watershed episode of Glee.
works really well. I like that.
The actual plot is about it's a German high school, and a group of students have to do a week-long project. A teacher who wanted to do a project on anarchy is forced to do a project on autocracy. Is then decides to come up with kind of slightly novel way of teaching autocracy by actually getting students to come up with their own autocratic system. Doesn't tell them this though, just kind of feeds in the elements, and slowly the project runs away from him, and we get some dark turns.
It's true. I mean, I found it a little bit kind of unbelievable somehow how quickly it ran away.
Yeah, how quickly it spreads, yeah.
But then actually, when I read about it afterwards, I found out it's based on a true story. Someone did this experiment.
Yeah, in a very similar time frame. Only about, because the film's set over a course of essentially a week.
Yeah.
Or a school week, so from Monday through to Friday. And I think the actual experiment's based on, and again, so we'll come to later, but I think that was actually, it was stopped only after 4 days because it was getting a bit out of hand.
Crazy, isn't it?
So, yeah, so it's a very interesting idea about seeing how the allure of dictatorships and how, you know, in modern Western democracies we can walk around and say, oh, that'll never happen again, but actually how perhaps it could happen again.
Mm. And people, and surprisingly quickly too.
Yeah, and you know, it's always the thing, you know, the next Hitler won't be striding around in uniforms and jackboots. You know, they'll be dressed differently, they'll act differently.
UKIP.
Yeah.
Nigel Farage.
But yeah,
Swivel-eyed loons.
The same ideas will, you know, just are expressed in a different way. So you always just be looking out for the ideas, not the packaging.
Anyway, should we do the trivia quiz?
Yes.
Trivia quiz. The one quiz to rule them all.
I must say, I do like your enthusiasm for the trivia quiz. Always punching the air almost every time we're about to go into it.
Is that true?
Yeah. I can see the excitement in your little eyes.
Well, we need a bit of energy. You need to kick it up a notch.
Okay, question one. Where did the classroom experiment in the film originally take place?
Oh, it was in California in the United States.
Yeah, that's right. It was Cubberly High School in Palo Alto. Ooh. Palo Alto. Palo now, there's Alto. A place you don't hear about very often.
It's just a typical American name, isn't it?
Maybe it's Palo Aldo or something.
Yeah, it's almost certainly, yes. In that, in that weird American accent as well.
Okay, question two. What T-shirt is Raina the teacher wearing at the start of the film?
Is it Ramon's T-shirt?
It is, yeah. Oh, well, okay. Remembered.
Yeah.
He is. He's rocking out. I'm putting that in little finger quotes there.
The reason I noticed, I said, that's inappropriate clothing for a teacher.
Where's your suit and tie, mister?
Exactly. What kind of standards do they have in German schools? And that's why the German economy is on its... Oh, hang on.
And question three. How old was Max Remelt, who played Marco, when the film was released in 2008?
Ooh.
So I'll give you a year either side of this.
Okay. Let's say he was 22.
Ooh! So close. He was 24.
Oh, well. 24. That was close.
They're all about, yeah, they're all about that age.
Anyway, your questions, Lewis. Question one. What is the name of the group in the original experiment? What name did the teacher give them in the actual real-life experiment?
Ah, was it the third wave?
It was indeed the third wave, yes.
A little bit more Nazi.
a little bit more Nazi. A little obvious.
Yeah, a little more obvious.
Surprising the students fell for it quite so easily. But, okay, question two. Why was it called the third wave?
Oh, right, yeah. I read this. He spun them some line about how the third wave in a series is the strongest or something like that.
Yeah, it's based on a kind of fisherman proverb or saying that... Well, it's actually kind of slightly different. I think the saying is the ninth wave is the strongest, and he just changed it for obvious reasons to the third wave. But correct. And finally, how did the real project actually finish?
Oh, yeah, I read this. So it was, he said that the president had recognised their group or something, and there was going to be a televised broadcast, and he told them all to meet up and watch the TV, but then that nothing came on.
Yeah, more or less. It was actually, he told them that the movement was about to go public, the movement was occurring across the country, and a presidential candidate was going to be announced for the movement the next day.
Right, yeah.
And yeah, and at the end there was just blank TV, and then he showed them a documentary about Nazis. So yeah, so I'll give you half a point for that. You got the basics there. So two
cheers,
and a half.
Cheers, mate. Cheers. Well, anyway, speaking of that original experiment, I was quite surprised because, like I said, when I was watching the film, I felt that perhaps it was moving too fast. I mean, by Wednesday, they pretty much graffitied the whole town with kind of this this wave imagery, and it was just all spiraling out of control remarkably quickly.
Yeah.
But the same thing happened in the original experiment, didn't it? It was like by the middle of the week, they'd already had 200 recruits, and people were being bullied for not being in the third wave and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, I think what was interesting about this was how you can sell the kind of autocratic systems of government or thought or movements. You push the good stuff.
Mm.
And when I say the good stuff, that's a curious thing to say. But the idea of saying, okay, yeah, and this is how he gets the students to kind of take it on. He's like emphasizing things like kind of physical fitness and exercise. You know, you get some stand up every time you speak. He goes, oh, this is good for the blood circulation. Gets you thinking more.
Yeah.
Pushes the idea of working together, of group kind of dynamics, of saying, he kind of sits the good students next to the weaker students, says, right, you're going to help each other, because, you know, each of us has different strengths, and we're going to, as a group, uniform, you know, get these strengths together. Gets them all marching together, and sort of does it against the anarchist class downstairs.
Yeah.
Says, let's annoy them, because, but Phil, look at how we sound together. And even the things that where he kind of introduces a very simple uniform, a white shirt later during the experiment, but he's like, okay, everyone will look the same. No one will be bullied for looking different. No one will have to worry about it. They can't afford. Mm. And yeah, like, again, kind of pushing the idea of like uniformity, of if only we could see beyond through our differences, we'd all be much stronger together.
Yeah, I mean, that's what really kind of struck me about the film is all the messages he keeps saying seem really positive, you know. Yeah. Like you say something like, oh, we're better if we work together, you think, well, there can't be anything wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Until you realize, oh, we're better if we work together, but implicitly he's saying we're better than other people.
Yeah,
you know, we're better than that lot downstairs, you know, we're better than people who aren't in our group.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of message that gets carried forward. The negative gets carried along.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I think that's the strongest message of the film, is that, you know, we're not going to be taken over by Nazis or you know, a fascist group or whatever overnight, or they won't just suddenly walk along the streets with guns, you know, threatening people. Mm. They'll seduce us. They'll convince us it's a good thing.
Yeah.
They'll appeal in a funny way to the worst of us and the best parts of us as well. They'll talk about things like community and what we can achieve together.
Mm.
But then, as you say, it's only us, though. We together, but we have to exclude these people, or we have to be against this group.
Yeah.
Or we have, you know, it was a very interesting illustration of how we just can so easily be fooled, or not even fooled, or even just perverted in a way.
It's interesting as well. I read the interview with the original guy. The guy, Ron Jones, was the teacher who originally thought this experiment back in 1967. And he was like quite a radical teacher. You know, he's fresh from training college. He had loads of different ideas for doing stuff. And all the kids loved him, you know. And during the experiment, his class size swelled from 30 to kind of 43 within a couple of days, as people kept joining the group because his class sounded exciting. But he said that, as well as he watched the kids kind of getting carried away with the idea of this whole thing and taking it too far, he also felt himself that he was starting to get carried away with the power of controlling them. And he realised that, you know, how easy it is for that to happen. You know, the power can go to your head.
Well, that's quite interesting, because that is what the teacher in this kind of goes through. Mm. He subtly changes across the week. You get the impression that he's perhaps not taken particularly seriously in the school. He's a little bit slapdash.
Mm.
I mean, he wears a Ramones t-shirt to school, for crying out loud. So he's, yeah, so he, yeah, he gets, yeah, like, you know, the students call him by his first name. He's like the cool teacher who perhaps the students like, but perhaps don't massively respect.
Mm.
And then he seems to very sort of start to enjoy the fact that people are listening to him, that the kids complete response to him, that they're hanging on his every word. And Yeah, I think it's how power can corrupt you.
Mm.
Even when you're kind of doing it just as an experiment, it becomes addictive.
Yeah, and it kind of, towards the end, it raises question marks about his motives as well. And I think that bit of the storyline actually worked very well. They kind of, you don't quite sure where he was going with the whole experiment.
And of course, this has so much more power by setting it in Germany, by moving it from its original American setting and placing it in Germany. And I think even more so, it must have been so interesting for Germans, because there's a kind of line near the beginning of the film where, he's like, okay, does anyone have any examples of an autocratic government? And people come up with, he's like, come on. And they're like, we get it, they're Nazis. And it must be hard being, the fantastic thing about post-war Germany is that it's been very willing to face to the crimes committed by people, running up to the war and during the war. And it's faced that and has kind of said, well, that will never happen. We must make sure that never happens again. But of course, I suppose now you're getting to a generation who's not just once removed, but twice removed from that. And they must just think, well, we're not like that.
Exactly. Yeah, that was really telling, that scene. I thought it was really interesting to hear the students' reactions, saying, of course we're not going to do that. We've heard it a million times, We're nothing like the Nazis. That was ages ago.
But that's exactly why this, I think, is so important. And what we were, what I said earlier is that they won't be waving swastikas.
No.
The next little man who decides that he needs to tell everyone how they need to lead their lives won't be have a funny little moustache and wear a uniform. And
is it specifically little men we must look out for?
It's small men of a certain age, not just not in terms of height, but small in their character.
Okay, so it could be a big man with a small head.
Yes, they lack something, which means they feel they have to impose on others.
What about bald men?
Are you worried because you're going bald?
I'm just worried
that you're going to suddenly become...
I might be...
And the main character in this is a bald teacher.
Exactly. I'm thinking that's the thread that's running through this.
No, I think you'll find most dictators have hair.
Really?
Stalin had hair. Hitler has hair.
What about Mussolini? Or has hair. Mussolini.
Have I just revealed that he's still alive? He's kept on that secret American base. Frozen.
Robo-Hitler. Well, Mussolini, though, he was shaved.
That's true. He's the only one I can think of that's...
your dictator top trumps.
I guess because dictators have to, seize power, and ultimately most people don't respect bald people.
Right.
That's
a harsh lesson.
There aren't many bald politicians, full stop, are there? When was the last time we had a bald prime minister? Churchill?
Yeah. William Hague was leader of the opposition, and Ian Duncan Smith.
Yeah, neither of which became prime minister.
Neil Kinnock was also a failed leader of the opposition.
Ted Heath was a thinning on top, but he still had hair when he was actually prime minister. When was the last bald president?
Putin. He did well in Russia.
Yeah, well, I suppose so.
Was
he completely bald before?
Yeah, I think he's been bald for a long time, You might have shaved it for a while.
Berlusconi, I suppose. But he had a hair transplant, so...
Well, yeah, he doesn't count.
Anyway, enough of hair. And I don't know, we went in a weird cul-de-sac there. I mean, what made me laugh about this film is... Not laugh, it kind of just made me raise an eyebrow, is that the kind of main character who really fights against the kind of this... fascistic group is quite annoying.
Oh yeah, Caro.
Well, there's two. There's the other one who doesn't kind of go along with it. She's quite annoying as well.
Yeah, it's true.
You get the impression she's just one of those slightly annoying students who's left wing probably until the age of about 23 when she actually gets a job. Then suddenly she becomes very, very right wing. It felt like her left wing beliefs weren't in any way actually strongly held.
Yeah, well, Caro is played by Jennifer Ulrich, I think she is. And in the film she has these two very kind of liberal parents who kind of are embarrassing her by kissing in public and all that kind of stuff. But she also, because of her liberal parents, she's got her own sense of empowerment and a sense of kind of right and wrong and all this kind of stuff. Basically, she's just a know-it-all.
I suppose that's fair enough at that age, aren't
they? But yeah, she just come across as a bit preachy, really.
I don't know how true this is, but that's funny, the liberal parents, because our friend Jason, who not the Jason recommended this film, and a friend of ours, Jason, he lived in Berlin for several years. And he once told me how many of his friends commented on how kind of free and relaxed their parents were compared to when they talked to their British friends, how their parents were.
Mm.
They had the impression that British parents tend to be far, far stricter than German parents.
Like the dad in Dennis the Menace.
Like the dad. It's exactly like the dad in Dennis the Menace, wearing a pinstripe suit and carrying a slipper. Whereas, I mean, I don't know if that's just a perception of, like, British being a bit awkward and fussy, but he did sort of say, you know, like, that they, you know, the kind of children are allowed to be a bit more like children. Whereas we kind of very quickly try and force our children to, don't do that, stop doing that, be quiet, listen, da-da-da. They are allowed to kind of run riot a little bit more, but almost get it out of their system. So as they get older, they kind of are a little bit more confident in themselves. I don't know how true that is, but...
Well, it's certainly, I mean, watching the film, the first thing that struck me about it was just how liberal and amazing German high schools look. For a start, they don't wear uniform. Which is the immediate difference, you notice.
Do you think that's a connotation, though, because of the war?
That's an interesting question, actually. I didn't really think about that.
Yeah, you know, things like the Hitler Youth and things like that, they might
have I immediately thought, maybe they've based it on the American school system, you know.
Yeah.
But good question. Do they wear uniform in other parts of Europe? I don't really know the answer.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, that's true. I'm not totally sure. When I've seen various European films, I don't remember seeing the students in Europe. I'm just thinking of Hidden, where I think their kid doesn't wear a uniform and he just goes to a normal state school, doesn't he?
It might just be that the UK is the odd one out when it comes to uniform wearing.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a great believer in uniforms, though.
So am I. Yeah. It's a great you know, it means you don't have to worry about what you're wearing to school.
Yeah, and all the good stuff about an autocratic system. And, you know, I was kind of like, yeah, that the Caro's brother who's just wandering around, like, as a 10-year-old smoking cigs, yeah, he needs a clip round the ear and tells to stop mucking around.
Exactly. But, yeah, the schools themselves look amazing. It was like, wow, it's very fancy. Although, we talked about this a bit earlier, and you reckon that most schools are like that nowadays.
Not most schools, but certainly modern schools in Britain look very similar.
Not
to that.
Not the 1960s dump.
Yeah, it's different. Like, all the schools I work in one particular part of London, there are... Half the schools kind of have similar facilities and look as modern. And when I was watching IT schools, I was like, oh, yeah, that's just a modern school.
Yeah.
But it certainly is much better than the kind of school we would have gone to, yeah. Which basically looked like Victorian prisons.
Yeah, exactly.
It didn't do us any harm.
Well, I don't know. I think I may have breathed in a few more chemicals than I probably should have.
That's true. All that asbestos.
All that
asbestos. So one thing I do want to talk about is the end.
Ah, see, we're going to have to give spoilers here now.
So, yes. I mean, like...
Awooga! Spoiler alert!
It wouldn't massively damage the film to watch it. I don't know. Anyway, so yes. Spoiler alert, just in case you do wish to watch this. And I would recommend it. It's a good film.
Yeah, so if you're turning off now, enjoy it. It's great.
Yeah, and then come back when you've seen it. But the ending of the film is... For my taste, extremely melodramatic. It ends with a big meeting, guns are pulled, shots are fired, and it just seems way over the top. Almost unnecessary to the power of the film.
Mm. Yeah, so, like you say, it does get very dramatic. And I think I read a review in The Observer just before we did this, where Philip French said exactly the same thing. He felt the ending was glib.
Yeah.
That, in fact, it was more powerful to have perhaps a more ambiguous ending, one that didn't kind of go so heavy-handed on the, oh, look, you know, guys pulled a gun, look what's happened, he's been influenced by all this, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I also read an interview with the director who said that when they had the initial test screenings of the film, that he felt it wasn't powerful enough, the audience didn't react the way he expected them to, and that he saw kids who were watching it kind of giving the wave salute and perhaps... thinking that it was cool. All
right, I see. Okay.
So he wanted to kind of have that kind of powerful ending to kind of show that, you know, this is definitely bad. Don't do this, you know. So I can see kind of both ways. I totally know what you mean. It did feel like it went just haywire at the end.
Yeah. Well, I think you could even have gone right up to the moment where the gun is pulled, but I don't think you really needed the shots fired.
Yeah,
I think you could have shown like that. That well, there's one character in particular who gets who basically completely falls in love with the whole thing because he's finally accepted.
Mm.
You know, he's a slight misfit who socially awkward, and then this is a way for him to have a role and get accepted by his peers. And you know, you also see that he's not particularly accepted at home, which again is the big thing about these kind of groups. You know, and it's the same thing with. Terrorist organisations,
Same thing with religion as well.
They give people meaning, a focus. You know, there's comments earlier in the film where they talk about, what do we fight for anymore? What, we've got everything we need. Mm. No one seems to have any kind of purpose. We live these kind of luxury-filled, purposeless lives. And these kind of things give, like, a focus, a meaning. Mm. And people, we're tribal animals. We like to be part of something. We like to feel like we're part of something bigger than ourselves. And this kind of thing shows how that kind of that need of community and connection can be twisted. And I think that character, it kind of made me laugh slightly that he not laugh, but I wasn't raising my eyebrow quite how quickly you got into it.
Yeah.
But I suppose a character like that is looking for something. He is looking for someone just to say, yeah, it's all right, you're my mate now. You know?
Yeah.
But I thought it just went way over the top at the end.
Yeah. Exactly. I think this is one of those films that they should show in schools, really. Any teacher who wants to come.
I think they should show the American TV movie.
Oh.
From the 80s, because that doesn't have a ridiculous over-the-top ending.
I suppose so.
Yeah, so.
It's certainly, what it does show is how quickly these things can spread, and I think it's definitely brings it home how easily something like Nazism can begin.
Yeah.
I think as an actual film, though, I didn't think it was amazingly well made and shot. I think it's workmanlike.
Yeah,
it's very workmanlike.
A TV movie.
Yeah, it felt like a TV movie, but the actual substance and I think quite a good script kind of holds it above that.
I mean, a little bit like District 9, I suppose. Fantastic and fascinating idea, but perhaps the actual packaging around it. Not quite as strong as it could be.
No, you're wrong. District 9 is amazing. Watch District 9, it's fantastic.
The only thing I would say is that, on the whole, the performances are very good in the bit, and especially the main Mr. Winger. What's his name? The actual actor.
Oh, Jürgen Vogel.
That's it, yes. I did like the fact that, the way the way he changes in the film.
Mm.
And, like, his final speech.
I didn't know which way he was going.
Yeah, and there's I don't know if it's because he's speaking in German, but the way his inflections on the certain words, the way he started to pace the actual stage, the way the camera was set, so when you walk through the curtains, you saw just the back of his head.
Mm.
And I think I've seen that on The Triumph of the Wheel or something like that. I've seen that, like, it looked very Nazi-like.
Yeah.
And then his inflection became almost like, and he started to blame, because he created this kind of weird conspiracy, didn't he? Mm. Like, and, the big business, like, all the things that Hitler himself touched on. And, and everyone was like, it doesn't matter. They're getting caught up in this kind of madness. I thought that was very good, and that was very well acted.
Mm, yeah. So I think a good film. I'd recommend it.
Yeah, recommend it, but, just not an amazing piece of art.
Yeah, say that. But a great message. So our secret sponsor this week is
Love Your Movies. On Twitter, you can follow them on @thedvdgen, G-E-N.
And they've got a site at loveyourmovies.wordpress.com. Had a quick look.
Quick look, as we always do.
Yeah.
Have a glance.
Had a look. They've got a podcast as well.
Yes.
Yeah, check it out. And if you've got any films you'd like us to watch, please write to us at 101filmsyoushouldhaveseen@gmail.com. We will eventually get round to watching them. Sorry, Jason Morgan, it's taken us so long to do this film.
Definitely, eventually we'll do it. Yeah, and also please check us out on Twitter. That's 101 at 101films. And follow us on Facebook, 101films.
Yeah, and check out our blog at 101filmsyoushouldhaveseen.com.
Okay, well that's it from us this week.
See you next time.
Yeah, next week. Bye.
Bye. We'll be right back. better than Wreck-It Ralph?
I haven't seen Wreck-It Ralph, so I couldn't say.